set up, ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, so we're in section three, number one, case 21-155, in regard to Bo Bedell DVM. So this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Bo Bedell DVM in case number 21-155. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given it in ARS 32-22-34. Dr. Bedell, please come forward to introduce yourself and your attorney, if represented by counsel.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bo Bedell.
And David Stoll, appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Bedell.
Thank you. Dr. Bedell, you've received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, and placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. We'll begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. At present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. James, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Case 21-155. On June 9th, 2021, Sammy, a 10-year-old, 10-plus-year-old lab retriever, was presented to the respondent for coughing and respiratory changes. The dog was currently being treated for dilated cardiomyopathy. The respondent examined the dog and found him to be stable. No medical intervention was needed at that time. The dog was discharged for continued monitoring at home, and it was recommended to have the dog further assessed by the primary veterinarian if needed. On June 14th, 2021, the dog was presented to Surprise Animal Hospital for increased respiratory effort. Diagnostics and treatments were performed. Due to the dog's condition of possible acute congestive heart failure, the dog was transferred to an emergency facility for continued care. The dog was transferred to Blue Pearl. The dog was examined. Hospitalization for stabilization was recommended, and an estimate was provided to the complainant. The complainant declined and elected to humanely euthanize the dog.
Dr. Bedell, at this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Dr. Bedell, would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to this summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. On December 14th, 2021, I spoke with the investigative committee via phone, answered their questions, and the committee unanimously recommended that this complaint be dismissed with no violations. Following the January 19th, 2022 review and the complainant's appearance and testimony, you elected to move this case to this informal interview. With regard to the videos, I want you all to know that I was not provided video footage of Mr. Bedell's dog Sammy until last week when those three videos were sent to me by my attorney, Mr. Stoll. Mr. Stoll obtained those videos pursuant to a request for information that was sent to the board after the January 19th review hearing. On reviewing the videos, I saw many of the same signs that I documented during my exam: a stiff gait, laboring to walk, panting, and stertor, which resolve when Sammy is allowed to lay down and rest. I also see a behavior that I would describe as retching, which I assume is the behavior that Mr. Vlad was most concerned about when taking the videos. Retching is not a clinical sign that I can say I've ever diagnosed as being caused by congestive heart failure. I generally attribute retching to either esophageal irritation or a dog trying to clear secretions from the upper airway, as in the case of tracheal irritation or laryngeal paralysis, for example. These videos were not provided to me at the time of the June 9th, 2021 appointment, which was the one and only time I saw Sammy. I do not recall Mr. Blood offering to send me footage during our discussion after I examined Sammy. in the past at my hospital vet med. If photos or videos are mentioned to the support staff, they will be documented in the notes section of our program, SmartFlow, by a technician, as well as emailed to the hospital and linked to the medical record if mentioned to the front desk staff. In this case, I did not find any evidence in the medical record that the videos were mentioned to our front desk staff or our technicians at the time of Sammy's arrival or during the discharge process. I will say that in general, when I am presented with cases in which owners report clinical signs that have an unclear description or that are not noted on exam, I frequently recommend that clients take video of the behavior in question the next time it occurs in order to help me or the next veterinarian that sees the pet put a name to the clinical sign. I hope this clears up the communication concerns that you had about the case. Medically, the investigative committee concluded that my workup of this case was appropriate. Dr. Jared Butler said that I did a good job on my workup and was complimentary. If you look at my medical records, my workup included a full physical exam as well as a thoracic point of care ultrasound that did not reveal any B-lines, did not reveal pleural effusion or pericardial effusion. There was also an abdominal point of care ultrasound that was performed that was negative. I finally want to respond to an accusation that my attorney made me aware of that was made by Mr. Ballad during your review last month that no one ever used its stethoscope to listen to Sammy's lungs. This is patently false. Every patient that I examine in the emergency room is given a complete auscultation of the heart and lungs as part of a physical exam. If you look at the medical record, a comprehensive assessment was performed on Sammy at the time of presentation, which included the following with respect to the pulmonary exam. Normal respiratory rate and respiratory effort at rest. Patient exerts slightly more effort when standing and walking. Quiet lung sounds bilaterally. I did auscultate the lungs and went over the findings with the owner, as is reflected in the plan section of my medical record. The medical record also shows that I discussed Sammy's cough with the owner, advised him that laryngeal paralysis seemed most likely, but that it was likely not severe, as Sammy was not clinical for this at the time of exam. The exercise intolerance and changes in breathing when walking, I assessed as likely secondary to pain caused by the degenerative orthopedic disease, which caused changes to the pelvic limbs on exam, and which Mr. Ballad confirmed had been diagnosed earlier in Sammy's life. As a result of Sammy's appearance on a physical exam and during cage rest, I cleared Sammy to go home, but recommended that the owner follow up with his primary veterinarian to discuss chronic treatment of the degenerative joint disease and additional diagnostics if needed. I also recommended that Sammy be reassessed more emergently if he was showing signs of deteriorating further. In closing, I would like to highlight the following. Sammy was euthanized 5 days after my examination due to uncontrolled congestive heart failure leading to pulmonary edema and respiratory distress, from what I'm able to glean from medical records from the other hospitals. This was not the clinical state he was in when presented to me on June 9th. I would also like you to know that even with the benefit of hindsight, I would not have done anything significantly different in this case, and I'm now available to answer your questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd now like to, ask the board members if they have any questions for Dr. Udell.
Some of the questions I'm asking have already been answered. I just kind of want to hear it for myself. When this owner came in, and I assume he explained to the receptionist what was going on, did you actually have a physical conversation with him about that, or did you relay that from what they told you?
It was a direct conversation over the phone.
And during that, what did you understand was the presenting complaint?
There were a lot of presenting complaints. After I was able to talk to him, when I was initially given the dog, the main presenting complaint I was made aware of was laboring to breathe. When I spoke with him, we went over multiple presenting complaints. I think I had mentioned in my board letter, he had mentioned a chronic history of changes to the breathing that I would interpret as stertor that he'd said had been present for months to years, coughing, I believe he said choking, exercise intolerance, laboring to breathe, went out for a walk, and then he also mentioned a rectal mass as part of his presenting complaints.
So would there have been any reason on your behalf or the the clinic, the receptionist, technicians, or whatever, that they would have made him feel like he came to the emergency room for a non-emergency visit if the presenting complaint was difficulty breathing.
I guess I can't speak for the support staff because I don't know what their interactions were with him directly, but from my perspective, you know, clearly, I don't like to discourage anyone from coming into the emergency room. Clearly, they're there to see us because they're concerned, and I don't blame anyone for being concerned about their pet. I would say, you know, potentially when it came to non-emergent issues such as the rectal mass, like what I discussed in my letter, not sure if, I don't remember if this was the case with him, but oftentimes when clients bring up non-emergent concerns like that and start to kind of go off on a bit of a tangent, I have to redirect them away from that and focus them on what we feel are the more urgent issues. Potentially somebody could take offense to that, as if I'm dismissing their concerns, when in reality what I'm doing is trying to execute my job as an emergency room veterinarian and focus on the emergent issues. Also, you know, 80% of communication is nonverbal, so I think potentially the fact that this whole interaction occurred over the phone may have led to some misinterpretation of my feelings about the case.
And regarding the fact that the labored breathing was the primary reason for coming in, the emergent one, and you didn't see the issues, maybe a little more difficulty breathing when getting up, but once resting, you didn't see these issues. And you said in your statement you do request video. Did you request video for this case?
I don't remember. I didn't write a medical record that I specifically told the owner to take video of it next time. I did see the labored breathing, but again, it was transient, and it was associated with the dog standing up, walking, being physically active, and then it would resolve while the dog was at rest. So if I did not recommend he take a video, perhaps it was because I felt like I had enough information from examining the dog and watching the way that he behaved in the clinic to come to a conclusion as far as, you know, what the cause of his complaints were.
Okay, and then my last question, I think, is if a dog is breathing normally when it's at rest, but you get it up and walk it, and you start saying labored breathing, do you consider that normal?
I don't consider it normal, but I would not consider it. So my primary concern in this case, given the patient's past medical history, is assessing whether these were being caused by his prior diagnosis of dilated cardiomyopathy leading to congestive heart failure. And so the fact that the dog's respiratory rate and effort were normal at rest, we know that sleeping respiratory rate and awake respiratory rate tend to be the two most sensitive indicators of what an animal's, you know, overall respiratory status is and whether they are developing pulmonary edema. Combine that with my negative point of care thoracic ultrasound. You know, we can't say that the labored breathing was normal, but I did feel comfortable saying that it was most likely secondary to the, you know, pain and effort that it took to walk, secondary to the issues with his pelvic lungs.
Which is what you then referred him back to primary care.
Well, I recommended that he reinstitute the carprofen that he told me he had been previously prescribed, and then recommended that he speak with his primary veterinarian about using that medication chronically or other things they could do to chronically manage that issue. Yeah.
And you would say, in your mind, you ruled out that this was related to the heart based on the testing and stuff that you did?
Yeah, absolutely. I felt very comfortable that my physical exam and negative point of care thoracic ultrasound were enough in my mind to rule out that this was not a cardiogenic issue. Yeah.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions.
Do any other board members have questions?
I do. Could you speak to the point of care ultrasound versus radiographs and the detection of pulmonary edema, and if one is better than the other, or do you need both, or how do you approach those cases?
So my specific approach with these cases is that I find point of care thoracic ultrasounds to be more sensitive when it comes to detecting the presence of pulmonary edema. It is less specific. So I've had multiple cases where what we're looking for is B-lines or lung rockets, some people will call them. And if I detect the presence of those on a lung ultrasound, then my next step would be to move to thoracic radiographs because there are multiple things that can cause B-lines or lung rockets on a point of care thoracic ultrasound. If I have a negative point of care thoracic ultrasound, as in this case, along with a normal physical exam, I don't feel it's necessary to proceed with thoracic radiographs. I personally don't consider, especially in a case like this, thoracic radiographs to be necessarily a benign procedure. It involves a lot of handling, a lot of manipulation of the animal, a lot of stress, and it's certainly not something I'm going to recommend unless I feel there's an absolute need to do it. And in this case, I did not feel that there was a need to follow up with that.
And that would be true for cardiac ultrasound also.
Correct, yeah.
What about left atrial enlargement?
Certainly, I think probably a general overall shape and size of the heart, there's probably a, in my case, because I'm not a cardiologist and I'm not adept at performing echocardiograms, which I think is probably more sensitive for measuring left atrial enlargement. For me, radiographs would probably be more useful in diagnosing left atrial enlargement, yes.
As a possible cause of cough, left atrial.
I think there's a lot of disagreement even in the cardiology community as far as whether cardiac enlargement can lead to cough. From my discussions with cardiologists in the past, some feel that it can, right. Some feel it does not.
Yeah. Compression of the main stem bronchi.
The ones that feel that it is a cause, that's what they point to. Yeah.
Right. In your conversations with the owner, did you ever give a prognosis?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know if I ever definitively stated to him, this is your dog's prognosis. I did tell him I feel your dog is stable and okay to go home. In my medical record, I listed his prognosis as fair to guarded. I have certainly seen on the board complaint that multiple times that he reports that I told him his dog's prognosis was bleak at best. Never said those words. Bleak is never a word that I would use to describe an animal's prognosis. Certainly I would not send an animal home with a prognosis that I felt was bleak at best. So I can tell you that I did not say that.
Yeah, when I saw the term bleak, it raised questions as to where would that come from?
Yeah.
And when you were giving a prognosis either to the owner or in your records, was that an overall prognosis of the dog or the pedic issues, cardiopulmonary based on the history?
So it was a combination of things. I felt like the dog's immediate prognosis was fair because he was stable and I was comfortable discharging him. Felt like the dog's long-term prognosis with his prior history of dilated cardiomyopathy, the changes to his pelvic limbs, his, you know, the fact that it sounds like his quality of life was starting to degenerate a bit. I felt like his long-term prognosis was more guarded. So that's why I listed it as fair to guarded.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
I know you stated that you referred him back to his primary care for further evaluation of his either pelvic maybe pain or whatever was causing the increased breathing with exercise. But did you refer to a cardiologist?
He had a relationship with our cardiologist at our hospital already, and so. I don't recall if I specifically said make an appointment with cardiology at your next available convenience. I do remember going through the medical record at some point here in the last few months and seeing that there was a consult scheduled with the cardiologist that was obviously canceled after the animal was euthanized, but I'm not sure if that was made, you know, on the day that I spoke with them or if it was made after discharge or what. But I guess to answer your question, I don't specifically remember if I said please make an appointment with Dr. Matthews as soon as you can.
Do any other board members have questions? Ms. Frost on the phone, no questions?
Nope, I don't have anything.
All right, you can step back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Want to hear from the complainant? Please come forward and introduce yourself.
Good
Please state your name for the record.
Steve Vlad.
Thank you. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
And you are the complainant in this case, correct?
Correct.
We've read all the materials you've provided, and you may address the board.
Around June 1st, 2021, my dog Sammy, who I had since he was 8 weeks old, and now he's almost 11, started honking loudly and randomly. As the days went on, the honk was accompanied with a cough. It started at night, it was quite loud. I would hear it, but didn't witness it until June 6th, and I was able to catch it on a video, which I plan to share with Dr. Matthews, his cardiologist, vet med, on the 16th, which I had an appointment already, of June. Possibly, so I took the video to show him to help determine the problem. As the next few days went on, the coughing and honking became more apparent and his breathing seemed labored. On June 9th, Sammy jumped into the pool and swam directly to the exit. He stood there, he looked dazed, and I had to help him out of the pool. It was about 3 p.m. His breathing was labored and he started coughing soon after and he didn't look good. He was now honking, coughing, and breathing erratically. At 4:30 p.m., I called the vet med emergency and asked them if they could see Sammy. They said, come on down. It was a Wednesday, it was 5 p.m., it was 110 degrees out, and vet med was 30 miles away. I picked vet med because that's where his cardiologist was, and I knew it would be, and I knew where it was, and I just felt comfortable going there, and they would have all his records. And I felt it was an emergency, and I was absolutely correct it was an emergency. We arrived at 6 p.m. I called and told them I was here with Sammy and he's having difficulty breathing, and I have a video if it will help determine the diagnosis. She said, if we need it, you can send it over. At 8:36 p.m., I received a 10-minute call from Mr. Bodell. The first words out of his mouth wasn't, sorry to keep you waiting. I was out in the parking lot for 2 hours. He said, your dog's prognosis is bleak at best. Very first words out of his mouth. Of course, my heart sunk until I heard his concerns. He blabbered on about the weakness and the atrophy in his rear end, scolded me about taking the dog to emergency hospital for an anal mass. I said, that's not what he's here for. Breathing, coughing. He's lethargic. It mimics kennel cough. I have a video. On the phone call, Mr. Bedell, I told him I have a video. He says, I don't need to see a video. I've been monitoring him for 2 hours. His breathing's fine, respiration fine, heart rate fine. He's resting fine. Very arrogant, very moody. And if he has kennel cough, there's nothing you can do but take some suppressant to calm it down. That's exactly what Google tells you. All they'll do is give him suppressant. Okay, so he's fine. I mean, I'm defeated. I've been out there for 2 hours. And I was glad my dog's coming home. And when they opened the front doors, the young lady who had Sammy couldn't even hold him back. He saw me. I have a Jeep JL Wrangler with a 2-inch lift. It's about that high. She had to let go of the leash or she would have done a face plant, and he jumped into the back of the Jeep. I haven't seen him do that in 2 years. So much for the atrophy. You know, that wasn't my concern. It was his breathing. He told me I would suggest you take him back, get him back on Novox 100 milligrams twice a day, because that's all he could see is the atrophy in his legs. And basically he's not gonna treat him for anything. My opinion, if any other vet besides this arrogant, moody, disrespectful, negligent idiot was on duty, my dog would have been handled the same way Dr. Emily Hines did on June 14th. Emily Hines just walked into the room and looked at Sammy and said, how long has he been breathing like this? I said, well, it's been about 2 weeks now. All she did was got down in 20 seconds. She stood up and looked at me and said, this dog can't breathe. He needs to be in an emergency room. I said, well, I agreed with you. I just took him there and I showed her this. This is Dr. Bodell's receipt. She looked at this and she went, I'm sorry, Sammy's in my care now. We need to take a picture. So we did all that, and the results were bleak at best. My dog suffocated on the way to Blue Pearl for 21 minutes, went blind and brain dead about the 10-minute mark. I got to witness that. That's about all I got.
Do any board members have questions for the complainant?
In the material that was submitted, there was a kind of a interchange regarding, I think, the phone call. Like, what happened on the phone call? You said this, he said this, you said this. Was that made off of recollection after the fact?
I immediately got home, and here are our notes, which I don't really want you to read because it's, but yeah, he was obnoxious, humiliating, unpleasant, bleak at best, that phone call, and I gave you all a copy of my memory, which is pretty good still to this day. I can almost remember that phone call by heart. Yeah, it was, what was the question again? I'm sorry.
I was just wondering if that written interchange had been written as you were submitting the board, like in your, as a recollection, or if that had been some other kind.
No, it was very easy for me to remember. I took notes and I wrote it down exactly the way I remembered it. And I could probably repeat the whole thing right back to you again.
Okay. And regarding the video, I mean, clearly we have very differing opinions on whether the video was brought to the clinic with you and whether it was told to the receptionist, the technician, the doctor, whatever. Can you 100% for sure say who you told that to, or do you think that maybe it was said to the receptionist and others weren't aware?
I said it to the receptionist, and I said it to Mr. Bodell after he told me that, you know, when I told him, hey, I got a video. Yeah, I absolutely did. I have timestamps on those videos, too. They were. The 40-second one was on, I believe, June 6th, 3 days before I seen Bodell, and the other two were after. There's one of him underneath the table outside. I mean, it's obvious this dog's not feeling very well.
In your conversation, so when you got the answers of he's fine, did you ask questions about, well, why is he breathing hard? What do I do about that? Was there further communication there?
After I told him, after he got done scolding me and telling me that there's no problem with the dog, I told him I got a video. I go, yeah, he's got a problem. It's like kennel cough. And that's when he totally got rude with me and said, I don't need to see your video. I've been monitoring. So what else am I going to do? He doesn't want to see my video. He's denying the fact that he has a breathing problem. And I've been out in the parking lot for 2 hours. It's still 110 degrees. I'm ready to go home. And I was glad my dog was coming with me. You know?
So did you feel like when you left there, you knew what you were supposed to do if he started breathing like that again at home?
I didn't know what to do. I just watched him, you know, watched him slowly dying and coughing, and it got worse and worse every day.
So I guess that's what I'm asking is, did you ask at the time of the appointment, what do I do if he, I see that here,
no, I didn't say
abnormal,
I,
but if I get home and he starts breathing abnormal again, what do I do?
I didn't say that, no. Okay. I didn't ask that.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions.
Any other board members have questions?
Couple of questions. I don't mean to make you repeat things, but I just want to be clear, because the conversation that you're relaying and the conversation that we've heard is quite different. As to the length, would you say it was pretty, a 10-minute, I think you said?
Something. I have the phone record. It was 10 minutes, yes.
And your recollection of it is pretty complete as to what was said?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you're sure that Dr. Bedell gave you the bleep prognosis?
Absolutely. Very first words out of his mouth.
And the words, "I don't need to see the video." He said,
I don't need to see the video.
So it wouldn't matter whether there was one or not. He wasn't
going to. He wasn't going to look at it anyway.
Did you discuss in detail his exam findings? What did he say about the exam findings?
He said just what I said he said. He didn't explain, you know, he told me, he actually wanted me, he said, he needs to get back on pain pills. That's all he noticed was the atrophy in his back leg. I told him, hey, he's got arthritis and dysplasia since he was maybe 6, and they told me to give him Novox as needed, and I did. My niece became a vet in 2017. She saw Sammy, and she told me that it'd probably be better to not use the Novox, to start using Cosequin, a supplement. And I have a heated pool. And between that and that, Sammy, you know, I could tell when he needed Novox. I could see he didn't have that happy swag, you know? But, yeah.
Okay. One last thing. In that conversation, did you and the doctor discuss the cardiologist's diagnosis and talk about the medications and the previous diagnosis?
No, we didn't get into that. Once he got done scolding me, and then his whole demeanor changed when I said, okay, let me take him home. And then he put on his best act of a doctor and started giving me his prescription, where take him to your vet, and his only concern was the atrophy. He had said nothing about the breathing.
But you don't remember a detailed conversation regarding the previous appointments?
No, I was sure that he knew that he did have a cardiologist at VetMed when he mentioned in the very last words, make sure you keep him on Solitol and Pemidan, okay, which is heart medication. I mean, he knew it. If he looked at his own diagnosis, it says right here, dilated cardiomyopathy, November 2020.
No, I'm not asserting that he didn't know.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if he knew or not, but I assumed.
No, I'm more concerned about the detailed conversation. On one hand, we have your recollection, and the other we have a recollection of a lot more detailed conversation.
I understand. I knew when I was writing this. I was writing this that he was going to deny the video. I knew it. And the bleak at best. But I'm here, and I'm telling the truth. Okay. And that's all I can tell you, you know. Thank you. He's got his side of it, and I got mine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other board members' questions? Thank you, Mr. Beck. Dr. Bedell, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
I have a few remarks. First, in response to Dr. Jane's question as to whether the complaint was submitted as an accurate transcript or his recollection of what was said, he testified that there was a 10-minute phone conversation. He's got the phone record that shows it was 10 minutes. This is about a paragraph long of what he claims is a transcript. There are only 4 quotations from Dr. Bedell, and they're all very self-serving for the complaint. This is not a transcript of their phone conversation. And I think today, under oath, Dr. Bedell has been a lot more detailed about the substance of that conversation, and it's consistent with what's in the medical records, and there was no discussion about a video, there was no offered video. He would have any veterinarian would invite, and he does, as he's testified on other occasions, invites a video. It's one of the best diagnostic tools they have. So he had no reason not to accept it. Keep in mind, the dog, complainant's dog was euthanized 5 days later for acute respiratory distress. The way that he just described his dog leaving the clinic on the day that Dr. Bedell saw the dog, sprinting out as, like he hadn't sprinted out in months and jumping into the car, that's not a dog with acute respiratory distress. We think that evidence is clear that the investigative committee got it right in this case, should be dismissed with no violation. We appreciate that you had questions regarding the alleged video, but as you've heard today, Dr. Bedell was never made aware of the video. There's no reference of it in the medical records as it being offered upon presentation, which the staff were instructed to do. If it had been offered, it would have been entered in the medical record and he would have had a chance to look at it. But as a practical matter, it really doesn't make any difference because it wouldn't have changed medically anything that Dr. Bedell did in this case. He's now had a chance to look at the video, and he testified here today that he would have handled the case completely the same way that he did, and regardless of whether he had seen the video or not. So as the committee noted in their report, Dr. Bedell did handle this case appropriately from a medical standpoint, and there's no basis for a violation here. Do you have anything else you wish to add?
No, I agree. Thank you.
Are there any more questions from board members? Seeing none, step back. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And Dr. James, you are the lead.
Yeah, so this is case 21155. This is a tough case, and this is a tough case for multiple reasons. There's definitely a lot of he said, she said, this is what I recall happening, this is what I heard, you know, like they're very, very different stories. But then you also have a dog that presented with multiple issues, not necessarily the presenting complaint, but multiple different problems, all of which were trying to be addressed, and which one really was taking priority, I think, played into where we are now. I certainly had concern about a dog having difficulty breathing, coming to a clinic, and knowing this dog has a history of cardiac disease, not recommending cardiac follow-up. I think, to me, what the emergency clinician's job is, and I'm not an emergency clinician, but what I see it when I refer cases, is for you to tell me, is that dog stable? If not, stabilize the dog. I think that was done. I think he looked at the dog, he felt the dog was stable to go home, and then tell them what needs to happen from here. And it's not necessarily the emergency clinician that's gonna do the workup, and it's not necessarily that they're gonna be the ones that are gonna be like, okay, your dog has progressive, you know, cardiac disease, but they're gonna be the ones that say that this is what needs to happen. And where I had concern is I felt like this owner left the clinic, why, I don't know, but left the clinic not having any clue as to what to do if this continued. There wasn't a discussion about seeing the cardiologist that's at the same practice that the emergency room is at, but there also wasn't real good indication of what to do if this breathing continued. So I think those are my bigger concerns. I think the other thing is, there's this whole thing with this video. I cannot wrap my head around why an owner would go through the trouble of taking a video and not showing or telling the clinic that they had it. The video was timestamped before the visit, so I just don't understand why somebody would show up at a clinic and not be like, oh, I have a video, do you want to see it? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Now, do I think the doctor knew? Maybe not. I don't know if the doctor, I can't, it's he said, she said, I don't know, but I feel like the clinic was informed that there was a video. And then I go, okay, well, why did that not get to the doctor? And why would the doctor not have said, hey, do you have a video? Can you get me a video? Like any of those things. So I think that that's kind of where I'm going. I don't know if there's any other comments before I go on.
Yeah, the video thing is very questionable. What I have problems with is the statement, I don't need to see video. That doesn't matter whether it was one or not. So it gets down to the he said, she said, just like you said. And I question, in a case like this, the motivations for coming up with some of those statements. And I'm having a hard time. The owner coming in with these direct statements and the bleak prognosis, I don't need to see your video, why are you coming to me with a mask? I have a hard time believing that was all made up. If the only motivation is I'm mad at this guy because my dog died later, and this is what I'm going to come up with. And I have a hard time not lending credibility to those statements made by the owner. The other thing that I would say is, I think you mentioned this, on the workup, with this history, I agree with you. I think I would be saying, am I missing something here? Based on the history, the medications the dog's on, the history from the cardiologist, am I missing something here? Maybe I need to look at, not rely totally on one diagnostic technique. Maybe I ought to do more here, or recommend, like you said, more be done. And so I would have liked to have seen that pursued.
Okay.
So I guess I'm going to ask you the question about anybody. Feel free to chime in. Because of this being, and we've run into this before, is that she said, we have to go with who we feel is most credible, and each one of us probably has different pieces that we're picking up from this conversation. But when they are that, do you feel like the communication itself got to the level of a violation, or do you feel like the communication may have just been bad and we're hearing two different sides and maybe it's more of a letter of concern? Medically, I didn't have as much of an issue with what was done. I think a referral should have been made for a cardiac workup because of this dog's history and because of the presenting signs. I think my bigger issue is how we communicated, whether we really got the full history, whether we looked at the video or could have looked at the video, or what, if those are more mine.
I agree. I think the medicine was okay. I would have had more questions, just like you said. We're saying the same thing. We just needed to go somewhere else as far as the cardiac issues go. And as far as the conversation goes, I just think that was a bad conversation, and in my opinion, would be deserving of a letter of concern, whether it rises to a violation or not, comes to that.
I mean, because it's so varied, because you're hearing such a different story from the owner than what you're hearing from the veteran, I'm struggling to go, there's a clear violation here, because I don't know where in the middle.
Right.
The truth lies, and I want to say I believe both of them, but there's no possible way. I think they're both credible, and I think in some ways that's what they heard or that's what they thought was said. But I mean, I think at a minimum, I think there's a letter of concern for ensuring that, one, if staff's told of a video, that the doctor's aware, because there could have been a failure there. That if a doctor's informed of a video, that they're taking it into account, taking it seriously, and watching it. And that if you have a dog that has a history of heart disease and has come in with lethargy and difficulty breathing, then making sure that they're aware of a cardiac workup or referral would be indicated. But I guess I have that right now kind of more as a letter of concern just because of the he said, she said piece of this. If it was very clear that that didn't happen, I would have said it's a violation. But I'm just not sure.
And that's the hardest part of this. I mean, we've said it over and over again that communication is 90% of the cases we hear. Communication is why it comes before us. It could have been resolved. It could have been fixed. But either one side is not listening very well, or both sides aren't listening well. Just because somebody's talking to you doesn't, or you're talking to somebody else, doesn't mean that they're, or even if they hear what you say, doesn't mean they understand what you say. So, yeah, I'm not getting, you know, sometimes, one of the reasons we have people right in front of where we can see them and look us in the eye and put them under oath and whatever, so you can kind of say, okay, well, my gut tells me this way or that way. And kind of like Doug, I'm not getting that read.
Yeah, give me that today. I'm not either way, and but I do feel like if you took the time to take a video.
Well, yeah.
You could have said something about it. So yeah. I feel confident that something was said. Whether the doctor knew or not, I can't speak to that, but something would have been said. I just don't see how I could know. So, I mean, that's where I would go kind of more about there's something there. This is not a complete dismissal, in my opinion. I think there is something there, but whether it's a letter of concern or a violation is where I'm struggling, just because I don't know what happened.
So I lean more towards the letter of concern only because I don't really think it affected the health of this dog. I mean, I think it had a terminal disease that was shortening its life, that had already shortened its life, that you never know. I mean, yes, you can kind of manage it with some pharmaceuticals, but you really can't stop or reverse the process. It's going to gradually get worse, and sometimes it's not gradual, it's a slope. And you just don't know when that's going to be. And it could be that when this veterinarian saw that dog, it was at the edge of the slope, but it wasn't sliding down yet. And then 5 days later, the other one saw it at the bottom of the slope. You know, hindsight's 20/20. What we don't have, all the, you can't do a necropsy and then a week later do another necropsy and see what the difference was. Right? So, yeah. So, like I said, I don't think it had ultimately an outcome. This dog had a shortened life expectancy, period. And did this one occasion shorten that further? I don't see that. Maybe, but I think probably not. I'm the layperson, so yeah. One of the veterinarians thinks I'm totally wrong. I'd like to hear it.
I mean, I kind of agree. I just think that it would have been processed better if at that point, if the owner had felt like things had been being listened to.
Yes.
Right?
Like, the communication, yeah.
So that's where, for me, it is. But okay, so I'm going to make a motion that in 21-155, we found no violations, but issue a letter of concern with regards to the communication with this owner and why the video, whether it was told to the receptionist or the doctor or the technician, was not relayed back appropriately and why that wasn't taken into account. And in ensuring that this doesn't happen again in the future as far as the clinic and how it operates. But then also, I think we need to call out that this dog had a history of heart disease at this clinic. And at a minimum, telling the owner if this continues, a cardiac workup would be warranted because we need to see more about what's going on.
So I heard a motion.
Second.
and a second. So the motion on the floor is to dismiss and issue a letter of concern, meaning on the communication. Is there any further discussion? Let's do your roll call.
Ms. Crater?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lovey?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
The board has voted to dismiss this case and issue a letter of concerns on the communications. This concludes this matter, and Dr. Cadell, you will receive written communication from the board's confirmation of the board's action shortly. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. And this concludes the informal interview. Thank you, everybody, for participating today.
Thank you.